Ezekiel chapter 37. Now let me go through these eight divisions again of Ezekiel 36 and 37. First of all, 36 verses 1 through 4, Israel's present state is marked by their enemies, is marked by the mocking of their enemies. And that's still going on today.
Yes, sir.
That has not ceased, even today. Secondly, in chapter 36, verse 5 through 7, the enemies of Israel shall pay for their mockery.
Oh, yes.
Thirdly, Israel shall inhabit their land, and both, that is, both Israel and the land, shall be blessed. Chapter 36, verses 8 through 15. Fourthly, chapter 36, verses 16 through 20, Israel is not without fault. As a matter of fact, God has accused Israel of great crimes against him and against the land. Fifthly, nevertheless, chapter 36, verse 21 through 24, sovereign grace will recover Israel. Now let me just stop a moment and tell you this. There are people out there that believe if you're premillennial, you got to be free will. They're full of their own stupidity. And how many places that clear? They're full of their own stupidity. And I am, by God's grace this morning, going to preach upon two major subjects, preach upon one, but mention the other. But there's two subjects, and it's subjects for which we have been rejected by other grace people. Those two subjects are this: the fact that God is not done with Israel yet, and the fact that God Almighty gives spiritual life, and God alone does it.
Amen.
He does not use the gospel or any other means to do it. And it's those two things for which some have nothing to do with us. Now, it's not that we don't have anything to do with them. All we got to do is mention these things. They will begin not having anything to do with us. God's not done with Israel.
Amen.
That is a fact of Scripture. People can, and it seems to be a noble thing. It may seem to some to be a noble thing. They try to symbolize Israel away. Well, if you can symbolize Israel away, you can symbolize the church away.
Exactly.
Maybe this ain't it yet either.
Exactly.
Huh?
That's it.
Because show me in the Scripture where it says the Israel of God is now the church. Show me where it says that. It doesn't. Scripture says God's blessing upon thee, Israel of God. You're blessed right, it does. And God is still blessing His Israel.
Yes, sir.
And the point is, He will still bless His Israel. So again, I say sovereign grace will recover them. And according to chapter 26 or 36, verses 25 through 38, Israel shall be saved and repent.
Amen.
Israel shall loathe what they once were.
Yes, sir.
But Israel will not be anymore what they once were. God is going to take out of them the stony heart and put within them the new heart.
Yes.
And this is all indicated to happen at the same time. Because it says, and this, you see, this is, we are of that group of people that believe in sola scripture.
Yeah.
The scripture alone. But there's a lot of people that hold to that phrase, they believe in the scripture alone until it goes against their opinion.
Exactly.
Then the scripture doesn't mean what it says. It actually, you've got to be smart. You've got to have certain men to help you understand what it means. Somebody says, sometimes you act like you're angry. I am angry because there are men who ought to know better.
That's it, right there.
That still teach that way. I heard a message this morning, and you probably didn't know this or not, but in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, you didn't know that's a parable, and Jesus, Lazarus is Jesus.
Really?
Yeah. That's right. I got it on tape. Now, folks, this is from somebody I would have Now, it may seem to be noble. Christ is in all the Scripture. That's right. But that don't mean the devil is Jesus.
Right.
And that don't mean Lazarus is Jesus.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that Simon Peter is Jesus.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, when it says there was a certain man named Lazarus,
yes,
and there was a certain rich man, it doesn't say anywhere it's a parable.
Exactly.
So if it doesn't say it's a parable, I take it to be a fact.
Exactly.
If it says it's a parable, then it's a parable.
Yes, sir.
And the only way you can interpret Lazarus to be Jesus is if you demand it's a parable.
Yeah.
No, he says to Israel, a new heart, this is verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And as I said last week, if he stopped there, we could say this is true, but yet there could be this great time gap between the giving of the new heart and the taking out of the stony heart, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because it doesn't actually say, but that's not all it says.
Exactly.
It says, and take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. So all this happens at the same time.
Yes, sir.
As I've said, there are those, and I tried it myself. Now, I didn't do it publicly. But there are those who have tried to explain this as though it's already happening for us today. And that's just not so. All of this will happen for us.
Yes, sir.
But it's not all happening today. God gives us a new heart, but the stony heart still remains there.
Yes, sir.
And it will not be done away until we awake in His likeness, or we are transformed if we're alive when He returns. But this is going to happen for Israel in a day.
Yes, sir.
Then we read, thus we read, as I said, now, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, God reveals how they will be saved.
Yes, sir.
He uses an illustration. Mm-hmm. But the illustration is pointed.
Yeah.
People like to say a type and a symbol. No, it's an illustration.
Yeah.
No, that's what a type and a symbol is. I understand that. But there are some things in Scripture that are definite symbols.
Yeah.
That are definite types. But not everything's a type. I've heard it preached, the law is a type. No, it's not. The law has a type.
Yes.
But the law, when God said, thou shalt not steal, that don't mean don't rob God of His glory and preach the true gospel.
Exactly.
Now, that would be included.
Yes, sir.
But that means don't take a penny that ain't yours.
Exactly.
When it says don't commit fornication, it doesn't mean don't believe a false gospel. It means don't have sex unless you're married.
Yeah.
That's what it means. And the law means what it means.
Yeah.
The Sabbath day is not now Sunday.
Exactly.
The Sabbath day is still Friday evening around 6 p.m. to Saturday evening around 6 p.m. That's the Sabbath day. And we are still, according to law, told to remember it, to keep it holy. Somebody says, I rarely do that. You rarely do the others either.
That's exactly it.
And neither do I.
Exactly.
Neither do I. But there are people who believe, say that they want to symbolize everything. Well, we're going to get a symbol here. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. And He caused me to pass by them round about. So what we have here is a picture of God is actually picking Ezekiel up, at least in his mind's eye. And He is given this vision.
Yeah.
Okay? And he not only is he standing on the edge of the valley, but God takes him all the way around.
Yes, sir.
So that there is no doubt as to what he is seeing in this valley. Well, it's a pretty good sized valley.
Yes, sir.
By the very context of what all we see happen here. A great army in the end stands up, right? So it's evidently a lot of bones.
Yep.
Ezekiel's not just giving a snapshot of the bones, he's taking all the way around. Just to make sure there's no doubt this is a valley of dry bones.
Amen.
Not a few dead ones here and there, Joe, but some living ones just kind of beyond sight, where your vision sees things but only in a blur. No, Ezekiel's taken what? Set me down in the midst of the which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry.
Sir.
This is not a corpse or a lot of corpses. Ezekiel did not have a vision of corpses.
No, that's right.
Ezekiel had a vision of separated, dried, loose bones.
Amen.
There was no sinew on these bones. There was no marrow in these bones. There was no muscle on these bones. There was no skin on these bones. And bless God, there wasn't no, the real problem, life.
Amen. That's it.
But no life. He said unto me, that is the Lord, said unto Ezekiel, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know.
That's it.
Thou knowest.
Amen.
And that's the whole point. That's all we could ever say. Now we could say, Lord, if they're yours, not only they can, but they will.
Amen.
But Ezekiel, these are dry. Ezekiel don't know whose bones these are.
Exactly.
You see? There are no identifying marks on these bones. They are not bodies, they're bones.
Exactly.
There's no clothes there. No, nothing there. They are a valley full of dry bones. And can these bones live, God says. Ezekiel said, Lord, you're the one that knows the answer to that.
Yes, sir.
He said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live.
Yes.
And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, here Ezekiel is told to tell what God is going to do from beginning to end. He has summarized all that God's going to do. But is that what God immediately does? No. So I prophesied as I was commanded. What? Hear! But did they? No. They didn't hear. Because, well, let me just go on. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Now, notice, it doesn't say, and they heard. It says there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. Boy, that's miraculous, ain't it? Yeah, it would be. And let me say something. Every time the gospel is preached, results take place.
Yes, sir.
A noise happens, and it causes things to come together. But the problem is this, even when you preach the gospel in its truth, there still is no life in them. But there was no breath in them. Now he's got a corpse. The preaching of the gospel can make a corpse out of you. But that's all it's going to make.
Exactly.
Now let me just stop, and I will jump ahead. Why? Now does life come to these bones? Yes, it does.
Yes,
but where does the life come from?
Exactly.
Not from Ezekiel's prophesying, but from the wind.
Amen.
That's where the life comes from. And I'm here to say and testify, and that's what we've been testifying to here and in a few other places for years, is that God Almighty alone gives spiritual life.
Amen.
God alone gives physical life as well, too.
Amen.
And we'll see that when we get to the next part of Psalms 139. But why does this happen together? Because it's going to happen in one day.
Yes, sir.
That's why when the prophets who do preach in that day, and there's 144,000 of them. See, how do you know that? That's what the book says. 12,000 out of each tribe. Going to be sealed. Where's that at? In the book of the Revelation. And God is going to hide this woman who gave birth to the son. This male child. Who is that? Israel. And when these people preach in one day, God Almighty, as that message being preached in one day, God's going to, David, and there will stand up a great army before the Lord.
Amen.
Now, how do I know that's what's going to happen? Because that's what it says is going to happen. I haven't had to interpret. I haven't had to explain symbols. Have I? I haven't had to give you the explanation of how this is a type and it means something else. It has all of its correlation revealed in Scripture.
Yes, sir.
So let's go back to 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. That is, the arm bone fit where it's supposed to. It wasn't an arm bone on a leg bone. It fit where it's supposed to. And let me tell you, the gospel, when preached, will do exactly what it's supposed to.
Yes, sir.
It makes bone come together to bone. It'll make flesh come upon bone. Sinews, skin, and muscle, all of these things. But one thing it doesn't ever do, because it was never designed to do, is it doesn't give life.
Amen.
Look at what it says. Verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. What's that? That's death. They're still dead bones. Now you got a corpse.
Yeah.
Now, let's say, we're said we're born dead in trespasses and sins. It doesn't even call us a valley of dry bones.
Right.
We're a corpse.
Yeah.
We ain't even made it past that yet.
Yeah.
But there was no life in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind.
Yes,
not the corpse.
That's right.
Not the corpse. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. This is to say, even as we preach the blessed gospel of Christ, we are absolutely dependent upon God Almighty to breathe spiritual life into the people that hear us.
Amen.
Or they will remain what? A corpse.
That's it.
See, there are people who say, see, you're regenerated by the preaching of the gospel. That ain't what that says. It's exactly the opposite of what it says. Even while the gospel is being preached, David, it takes the wind to bring life. Somebody says, well, this says it happens while the preaching's going on. Yeah, it does. And there's a reason why it says that. Because he's talking to Israel, about Israel, in that day when he's going to save them.
That's right.
But there was no breath in him. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy of the wind. Say the wind, come from the four winds, breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army.
Amen.
Now here's a question. Because does God do this for us? Yes. But not as he's going to do it for Israel. At most, one time we read 5,000 at one time were saved.
Yeah.
Don't we? Now, do we see thousands saved at a time? No. It's just like one here, one there, and one here, and one there. And then a couple years go by and you think, you realize maybe four or five of them were false professions. They weren't even real.
Exactly.
After about 10 of them, you think, well, maybe one of them was real.
Yeah.
Huh? I don't know if it's always been like that, but every time I turn around, you see people making a start and then quit. Now, is that what's going to happen right here for the Israel in this day? No. A great army is going to stand up, and it's going to be chapter 36, verse 33, "Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you." It's going to happen in a day.
Yes.
And I'm going to say this. God regenerates us just as briefly. But I'm also here to say that the gospel doesn't have to be there when it's done.
That's right.
Somebody say, why do you insist on that? I insist upon that because that's what the scripture declares.
Yes, sir.
I will give you just a small handful of examples. Who was preaching to Abram when Abram, by faith, got up and got out?
Exactly.
Now, someone said, well, but he heard the voice of God. How?
Yeah.
If Abram was just as dead as we are said to be dead, that means we're so dead that we would also, in our dead state, being uncircumcised in heart and ears, we would resist the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, I thought you can't resist. You couldn't resist God. The natural man always resists God.
Amen.
That's how dead he is.
Exactly.
He even resists God, let alone his gospel.
Yeah.
You see, the problem is, and you think, why do you get upset? Because these people, these men out here talking this gospel regeneration garbage are in effect saying man's not totally depraved. That's what they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they ain't going to come out and say that, because they say everybody, all these Arminians don't believe in total depravity. Neither do they.
That's right.
Because man is so depraved, his natural state resists God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's what it says. Acts chapter 7, it's there. Well, let's just read it. And I'm going to take my word for it. This is what Stephen preaching, wasn't it? And remember, Stephen was killed for saying this.
That's exactly right.
And men will hate you and hate me for saying this as well today. Well, if you believe that, then you believe this. You know, Calvinists eat babies. You know? We don't just believe they go to hell now, we eat them. Stupid people. That's what they are. And the ones that ought to know better, I won't call stupid. Because that's the problem, they're not stupid. They ought to know better.
Yes, sir.
Look at it, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised, how?
Yeah.
And he's going to let us know this is a metaphor using here, right? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist who?
Yeah.
Not just the gospel,
no. But
even God himself.
Amen.
Right? Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost like your daddies did. You do the same.
Amen.
And folks, that's being you.
Exactly.
By nature.
Yes, sir.
The elect are no better than the reprobate by nature. We're born just as rebellious and depraved as they are. And not even God will work on that rebellion. He's got to take that rebellion, that stony heart, out of us. Right? He doesn't take that stony heart and turn it into a good one. It is absolutely, totally depraved. It's rejected. It's reprobate.
That's it.
Remember those people, Romans 1, and all them homosexuals?
Yeah.
Huh? It said God gave them over to a reprobate mind.
He
didn't say God had to give them one. They already had one.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, that's what we got by nature.
Amen.
It's a nature that is rejected of God, reprobated of God. No. Where does life come from while Ezekiel's preaching?
Yes, sir.
Where does it come from? From Ezekiel's preaching?
Yes, sir.
No. It comes from the wind.
That's right.
Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Now let me just stop and make this a little more personal today. You and I, this small group here, have seen several people that when the gospel was preached, it seemed as though bone came to bone. Then meat began to grow up on the bone. The sinew, that which holds the muscle, you know, the muscle together. And skin come up on it. And you would think, that's life, right? But is that necessarily life? This right here proves that's not necessarily life, is it? You could have all of that happen and it just be a corpse. It may look alive until you do further particular investigation, right? What's wrong? That's a body. It's not a corrupt, it doesn't look like a corrupt, nasty body, right? But the problem is, no. So even if it ain't rotten and nasty, it's still dead. It's just as dead as it will be after 2 months and it rots. David, the death in the beginning is just as dead as the dead in the end.
Exactly.
It's dead. And we've, I'm afraid, seen that happen. The work of the gospel stirs people up and they look alive. But there ain't no breath in them. You know why? Because a man that's alive will eat. He must eat. He's got to eat. He's got to feed and eat and drink. And what's he going to eat and drink? Christ's flesh and Christ's blood. He's going to feed on Christ. Can't help. I'm alive. And I don't feed to get life. But I feed because I got life.
Amen.
The reason they don't feed, Christ said, this ain't Walter being judgmental. Christ said, a man that's alive, he'll eat my flesh and drink my blood.
Yes, sir.
That's the man's got life in him.
Yeah.
That's not how you get it. That's the proof that you got it.
Exactly.
Does this word have a word for us today? Oh, you bet. And let me tell you something. If God wants to regenerate you while I'm preaching, that's his business. More power to him.
Yeah.
You know? If he wants to regenerate you after you hear preaching, that's fine with me. See, I'm not saying God has to regenerate you before you hear the gospel. I'm simply saying he can.
Yes, sir.
The examples? I told you I'd give you a few. Rahab the harlot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll give you one. Abram.
Yeah.
Who was preaching to Abraham? Where was the great revival going? The only revival was Abraham himself, wasn't it?
Exactly.
It wasn't Abraham in his Adamic nature that responded to the voice of God.
Right.
It was Abraham in the new nature that responded to God. What about Rahab? It says in Hebrews, she received the spies by faith. That's even before she heard a word from them. She already believed in their God. She already knew their God was going to give them the town, Jack. And that's said to be a faith that's on par with the faith of all the other believers. Right? Not a false faith. A faith that's equal with Noah's, with Abraham's,
yes, sir,
with Joseph. That's Rahab. Receive the spies by faith.
Yes, sir.
Now let me tell you something. She had faith, she had life.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a faith apart from life, you've got a dead faith and it ain't worth a spit and wind.
Amen. That's right.
That's the problem with these bones, this body laying there. Look at it from a distance, looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I figure, it doesn't say it, but I figure it's a full body. Might even have hair. Right? Now, David, the wind might blow on it and make it look like it's moving.
Yeah.
But the wind's got to blow into it to make it alive.
That's it.
Just because the hair moves don't mean it's life in the body. That's it. No, God Almighty gives life. He gives life to us individually today, just like he will individually on a large scale one day to Israel.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, I just don't believe it like you do. Well, you believe wrong then.
Yeah.
And that's all I can say about that. Let me just be Forrest Gump for a minute. That's just all there is to it. You know? That's just all it is. It ain't, well, maybe you're wrong. No, this is what the book says. I'm not having to make it say that.
Right.
I'm simply proclaiming what it says. And as Penny and I were coming up here this morning, and as she and I were talking, as I said, you know, about that thing of the rich man and Lazarus. If God would have, if it was a parable, God would have told us it was a parable.
Exactly.
He did on all the others.
Exactly.
A bunch of them in here said he spoke a parable unto them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right in the same chapter, it says that. But when it gets to this one, he doesn't say nothing about no parable.
That's right.
So I happen to believe it's real.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if I'm stupid because of that, I'd rather be God's stupid man than man's wise man.
Exactly.
Now, I was told not to preach at the radio, which was probably a good thing to do. But that's something I can't help. Joe got me started doing that.
It's true.
Now, I don't know which one of us started the other one, but as I told you before, years ago, we used to listen to the radio just to make fun of people.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, when a guy talks about the King James Version of the Bible, you can't help but either laugh or get angry, one or the other. Well, this morning I got a little angry. I got a little vexed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm listening to this message, and it's the overall truth of the message is good. It's Christ. But I'll go back to what Earl Cochran once said, a text without context is pretext, even if you're preaching Christ.
Exactly.
God expects His Word to be preached for the truth that it is.
Amen.
Not me trying to feel I got to make it the truth.
Yeah.
Christ is here. I don't have to make Him be here. He's here. Preach the truth of the book and you'll preach Christ.
Yes, sir.
You don't got to make it say it's Christ.
Mm-hmm.
No. According to chapter 37, let me just go on and read to the end. I still got just a few minutes, don't I? Yeah. Now let's look at verse 10 again. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an army, an exceeding great army. Then He said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Well, now, let me just let you all know that really don't mean the whole house of Israel.
Yeah.
It means a part of the house of the Jews. Oh, no, maybe it's the part of the house of the Gentiles. If Israel don't mean Israel, then the whole may not mean whole. Right?
Exactly.
Well, no, the whole means whole, but Israel doesn't mean Israel. Oh, so when it says Son of Man, maybe Ezekiel's not the Son of Man? What? You see, they pick what words are real and what words are only symbolical to fit their own interpretation. God never tells us to do that.
Yes, sir.
He says, Thus saith the Lord. What's that mean? Listen up. I'm going to tell you something.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to hear. Now, if you ain't got ears to hear it, you're in trouble.
That's it.
But if you do, He still said, let him hear.
Amen.
Right? And Christ said, whatever God's given you, you best make use of it. Now, that fella preached that from that text, and that was good.
Yeah.
That was good. And I mean, it's a noble thing to preach Christ, but I don't have to force Christ into this book anywhere. He's in it.
Yes, sir.
He's in it. There stood up this great army. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these bones are who? The whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people. Ain't that a good thing? My people, even though you are nothing but a valley of dry bones, and you're very dry at that. Right? You're still my bones.
Amen.
But God doesn't even refer to them as their bones, does He? He said, my people. He refers to them, David, as a whole person, even though by themselves and themselves they're not. And isn't that what Paul said concerning even Abraham?
Yeah.
That God calleth those things which be not as though they were?
Amen.
Oh, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Do I believe that? I believe that.
Yes, sir.
I believe that. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Now, is God doing that for that bringing us up too? Yeah, He's bringing us up too, isn't He? We were in a grave too, weren't we? Look, verse 14, And I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. You know, I at times, I just get so vexed. You know one reason why I get vexed? It's because we can preach the truth and do it as best as you can. And I don't mean just me and Joe. We can hold to the truth. You can preach the truth.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to stand here to preach. You can preach the truth where you work at. You know? You can preach the truth anywhere that God gives you the opportunity to preach the truth. But when you preach the truth, even other people who say they preach the truth, you can glory in God for their preaching Christ. And you can even quote them and talk about the truth that they declare of Jesus Christ. But if they hear you say God Almighty gives spiritual life apart from the gospel, or God's not done with Israel yet, you are cast out.
Yeah.
They won't want to have anything to do with you.
Exactly.
It saddens me because there's men I won't ask to come preach here. Well, if they do, and they start denying one of these two things, I will, David, while the message is being preached, stop, stand up and say, no. No more of that. Not here. You see, now, were we just starting out? If I was just starting out, Ellen, might be a different story. But I'm not just starting out. I heard this truth declared for around 23 years in no uncertain terms. And I didn't have to twist the Bible around, nor was the Bible twisted around for me to hear that. It was preached for what it says.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was that dumb to believe it. And if spirituality is that, I'll be that.
Yeah.
And you remember Paul said, I'll be the Lord's fool.
Yeah.
People want to look at that as the foolish way. That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, you're one of them premillennial. They're all Arminian. Don't be stupid. Start telling them that. Don't be stupid. They think that premillennialism is equivalent or demands Arminianism. But I'm here to tell you, it's the daggone Arminians who started all millennialism.
Right.
Rome started that garbage.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Ah means no. Millennial means kingdom. You mean you don't believe in the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
Of course, that's not what they're trying to teach, is it? No, let me tell you something. God Almighty has not cast off His people which He foreknew.
Amen.
He didn't do it back then. He's not doing it now, and He won't do it in the future.
Amen.
God will save every person He has chosen to save. And whether He's doing it as an individual or individually on a national scale, that's God's business. So as God tells us lastly, chapter 37, 15 through 28, the divided nation will be one under Christ. Right now, yes, Israel has a piece of land over there, but they're still a divided people.
Yes, sir.
They're still a divided people. The northern and southern kingdoms have never rejoined. They've never rejoined. As a matter of fact, the separation was so great that while many in the southern kingdom were allowed by Cyrus under God's own sovereign providence to return to the southern kingdom, none of the northern tribes were ever allowed to return. And all you had left was who in the northern kingdom, the northern areas? The Samaritans. The people who had not been taken away, who were left in the northern kingdom and married the inhabitants that had come into there, and they were then called half-breeds.
Right.
Samaritans.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, God said it ain't going to stay that way.
That's right.
Now let's look at what God says. Verse 15, the word of the Lord came again unto me saying, moreover, so this is connected, right? Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Now see, sadly, there's a lot of folks, especially in Free Grace, they don't have no idea what that's saying.
Yeah.
They've never been taught any of that. Because all that symbolical anyway, doesn't matter. Just preach Christ.
Yeah.
Just preach Christ.
Yeah.
That sounds noble, don't it?
Yeah.
Now here's the, preach the truth and Christ will be preached.
Amen.
Ephraim is the northern kingdoms. Judah is the southern kingdoms. As a matter of fact, Ephraim are not Jews.
Yeah.
They're Israelites. Judah is where the phrase Jews come from. Now granted, today we call all of them Jews. But that wasn't originally what it was. Remember, you Jews say to worship in Jerusalem. Who was this? This half-breed Samaritan. She had Jewish blood in her, David. But she wasn't a Jew. She was of the northern tribes. Intermingled. Interbred. No, but what's God say? Ezekiel, you take two sticks. One Judah, one Ephraim. What's that saying? Northern tribe or southern tribe, Judah. Northern tribe, Ephraim. 17, verse 17, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand.
Amen.
And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, what wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make with them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand.
Amen.
I'm going to join the nation as one again. It will no longer be divided.
Amen.
Now, why was it divided? Because of rebellion. Why shall it be joined together? For God's good name and promise.
Amen.
Still all sovereign grace. Mason, we still ain't got the works yet. Have we?
Right.
Still all sovereign free grace. They shall be one in my hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thy hand before their eyes. In other words, show them this metaphor. Do it. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. Now, is there any application for that today? Yeah, think of it. We came, me, Roy Jr., Linda, Pam, Chad, Trent. We came from almost, 30, 40 miles away. To what? Gathered in this little old place right here with some of you, and there's others who travel. Look out, Joe, you from Princeton? Debbie? Huh? David, you were in, was it Martinsburg at one time? Where are you now? Here. It's this little old place. You see, this group of people is here today because God Almighty purposed before the world began that we would gather as the church right here at this spot. Just like God has purposed Israel, we're gathered back together as one nation right there on that one piece of land.
Yes, sir.
Yes, there are equivalents here. Mm-hmm. There are equivalents here. We are exactly where God Almighty ordained for us to be right now.
Exactly.
And as hard as it is, there are others who we wish were here today. They're not. And you know why they're not here? Oh, yeah, we can say rebellion. Unbelief, maybe just hindered. Some people can be hindered,
yeah.
Right? But you know why? There's not why every person who's not here today is not here today because God Almighty ordained they not be here today.
That's it.
Even though some of them should have been. That still stands.
Yes, sir.
You see, you got people who either bow down to the sovereignty of God, not always comprehending it. Or you have those who excuse their sin because of the sovereignty of God. And God's people ought never do that.
Yeah.
We ought never do that. That's excuse our sin because of His sovereignty. Let me move on. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen whither they are gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall no more be two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God, and David, my servant, shall be king over them. And you can read the rest of that. You know who that King David is, don't you? That's Christ.
Amen.
Why do we know that? Because you read, and we'll, with God willing, we start there next week. We'll see that the Scripture gives us reason to know that this David is Christ.
Yes, sir.
Not David, the son of Jesse. Right? This is, and some have put it, the greater David. No, this is David.
Yeah.
This is the David. This is the one.
Yeah.
You see, David, this David, is the man after God's own heart. This David is the David that God Almighty anointed king.
Amen.
Even when his people said, no, here's the kind of king we want. And let me tell you, if God left it up to our choice, we'd have chose the wrong king.
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't we? We'd have chose the wrong king.
Exactly.
Israel wanted to be like the other nations, didn't they? I better not be too mean, but let me go ahead. There's a lot of people nowadays, they want the church and the church's authority and the church's kingdom to be like all other kingdoms too.
Yeah, that's
right. Now let me tell you something. Just as a little morsel to throw out there to you. There are men who equate the kingdom of God with God's sovereignty. That is, the kingdom exists now because God's sovereign now. And of course, kingdom is sovereignty. Because if you're a king and you got a kingdom, you're a sovereign.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
But the rationalism doesn't go far enough. It fails. You know why? Because there was a time when the kingdom was promised.
Yeah.
There was a time, Mason, when the kingdom clearly wasn't here. But it's promised to be here.
Yes.
But God has always been sovereign right here. You see? The kingdom has to do with God's sovereignty.
Yes, it does.
But the kingdom has to do with God's sovereignty being here now.
Yes.
In the individual presently. And then one day Christ will return to this earth. And it says, He will show who is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's going to show it. You see, I'm not of that ilk that Jesus is coming to be king.
Sir.
He already came and He is king.
Right.
And He was king. He was born king of the Jews.
Amen.
But I thought He was king of everybody. He is.
Yeah.
But in a specific way, He's king of the Jews. And in another way, He's king of the church.
Yes, sir.
Is He not? And one of these days, let me just say this, according to God's own word, because God promised it, Israel will be a nation again, undivided and undefiled in their land before God. And that is no less sure, no less sure than, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring.
Amen.
There shall be one fold and one shepherd. You see, if God's pleased to save you physically or spiritually, you're going to be saved.
Yes, sir.
David, here's a guy, or a guy or a gal, either one, they're in a company that employs 1,000 people. 1,000 people may lose their jobs. But if God's purpose is that one person still have a job, they may be left there sweeping up the trash from everybody else that's gone.
Yeah.
It may be even temporary. But see, the whole point is, when God purposes to save somebody, they're going to be saved.
Amen.
Every person who has a close call today,
yeah,
it's a close call only for us.
Yeah.
It was yards apart for God.
Exactly.
You know, that car that just zoomed right by you, if one of us today does that, zoomed right by you, the reason you wasn't 1 second or 2 seconds earlier is because God Almighty purposed to save you at that time. And I remember one time, and this is the way we think. We think, boy, I'm glad I wasn't 2 seconds earlier. The thing about it is, we might leave 2 seconds earlier this morning. I remember one time telling, I told you all this too, but you all didn't respond this way, but about how a vehicle one time broke down on me. I was going up to Ravenswood to preach, and a vehicle broke down on me. And I was quite perturbed, you know. I was going to Ravenswood to preach. I wasn't going to Ravenswood to have to work on a daggone vehicle on the side of the road somewhere. And I began to think, well, this time of I've had to stay here instead of being on the road, that may be the time is required for God to keep me out of an accident.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, you selfish piece of trash.
Yeah.
This may have been the time required for God to kill you today. And needless to say, the whole drive to Ravenswood, I was like this. Because it dawned on me the way I usually think. This is always for some fleshly. Well, I can still get a hang around. Would it not have been better overall for me to have gone on to glory? I would have liked to have gone on to glory. But we don't think that way, do we? Oh boy, God saved me from that. No, God might be saving you for it. Save you from it, he can save you for it, save you against it, upside down with it, right beside it, whatever he wants. You see, if God's promised to save me without fault, then if God promised to save Israel without fault, he's got to do it.
Amen.
Or he's not God.
Exactly.
How do you trust a person that lies?
Exactly.
How do you? Scripture says God cannot lie. Now here's the weird thing. Well, but you know, the Bible's so full of things hard to be understood. It's hard to be understood. Yea, even impossible to be understood only by the reprobate.
Yeah.
If God's given you life, there is capacity to understand and hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're already out of the grave. You're no longer a dry pile of dry bones. You're no longer, David, even a corpse. You're a living person before God. Now, if God's pleased to reveal or to hide something from you, that's fine. But here's the problem. Most people that God's hidden something from still think they know what it is.
Yeah.
And when they hear somebody tell the truth about it, they say, that ain't it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but at least that ain't it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what I heard a man say this morning. Penny can be witness to it. You can listen to it. Regeneration. He said, I can't explain it. I don't know how it happens. But then he went on to explain how it happens. By the word of God. By the preached word of God. Huh? You see, folks, it don't cut it. Either I don't know what it means, therefore leave the subject alone.
Yeah.
Or I do know what it means because it's what the word of God says. And those who don't know ought to say, I don't know. They ought to quit saying so-and-so is wrong.
Amen. That's right.
You know, they run out. Well, you believe a person can be saved and they don't even believe in Christ yet. Let me tell you something. God Almighty saved me before the world began.
Amen.
He picked me out, David. He chose me when he rejected others. He could have rejected me.
Amen.
He didn't have to. The problem is we always, almost all the time, we think of salvation as in that little time frame of the time I was converted till the time I go down the grave.
Right.
That's why we think, well, I wasn't saved then. I was saved before I was born.
Yes, sir.
Because I was given grace in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
The scripture says that God chose me in Christ before the world began, before the foundation of the world, and that I was and still am accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
You see, I'm of that ilk that believes there was never a time when God's elect were condemned.
That's right.
Never. Now, we fell in Adam and became lost and therefore needed to be recovered. But we've never been condemned. God purposed not to condemn us. That's the whole point. Father, I pray that these truths, whether they be directed toward us or other of our family in Christ, or whether they are there simply for our learning, or they be directly for us. Maybe there may they being there encourage us, teach us to trust in Thee, wean us away from our doubts and our complaints, those things that would bring us far too low. We're asking in Christ's name. Amen.